Good evening, everyone. Who remembers the scarf? This is when I become bipolar. Very good. That's right. When I put the scarf on, I become someone else. So there's a taste of what's going to come tonight. I'm looking forward to Paul preaching next, because when he preaches, he'll be able to share with us all these first-hand experiences. Now, I think that, no, he's been away for 5 weeks, so I think there's got to be at least 7 weeks' material in there. Definitely. One thing I should have... Sorry? Oh, you got two already. One thing I should have said during the announcements was Lynn Cameron got to see her specialist during the week, and she's actually booked in for an operation on the 22nd of May, and then she'll be out of action for a couple of weeks as she recovers from that. So, but let us pray. Loving God, we just give thanks that we're able to come here this evening, that we're able to enter into your word and explore it, perhaps in ways that we might not normally do. Lord, we just ask as we come to this time that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Now, this is a really interesting day because we've got Mother's Day and we've got a reading which talks about someone else being chosen. Now, mums to me fall into a really special category. For many, they are loved beyond all measure. And as I was doing some research this week, I was struck by Ed Sheeran's song, Supermarket Flowers. So we're just going to play that now for you. Please listen to the words as we play this song. See, this is the position that the disciples are in. They're left with just memories. But they're left with memories of someone who perhaps wasn't special to them. What if the person that we're talking about is not an angel? What if the person that we're talking about is not the one that holds you up and supports you? What if the person that we're talking about is the one that is the betrayer? What if the person that we're talking about is not the chosen one? What if the group says, no, we don't want you? See, that's the situation that we're looking at today. Last week I talked about the Revised Common Lectionary and how sometimes it skips over verses. Did anybody notice that we skipped three verses today in the reading? Sorry? You definitely did? We skipped verses 18 to 20. And the reason why we skipped them is because they're not very nice. They talk about what happened to Judas after he died. And Luke's version of it is not pretty. You see, often we don't want to hear about the consequences of our actions. And Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, presents Judas as one of many cautionary examples of us to what happens to the fate of those who oppose the kingdom of God. Why is it that we're so squeamish about death and destruction and judgment that's being brought upon or foretold of those who are the enemies of the kingdom? Is it that we want to have a Christ who is safe, who's not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who comes in the white horse against tyrants and rebels, who strikes down nations who oppose him? Is it that we just want to hear about the Christ of the Nativity, the Christ who teaches us to turn the other cheek, the Christ who forgives enemies on the cross, rather than recognize that this is a God that is our God who is all-powerful? I go back to the question at the beginning. What does it feel like to be the one left out? We go back to a very recent example. Kate Campbell finished second in the 100 meters freestyle at the Commonwealth Games. Everybody knows that Bronte then got chosen in the 4x100 medley relay and went on to win a gold medal as part of that team. But what about Kate? What do you remember about her? Do you remember the image of her not looking happy? What about Edwin Kirby? This will be a test for the trivia experts. David's going, I think I should know that name. Edwin Kirby. Sorry? No. He is an Australian who won the closest election seat in Australian history. He won by one vote. He beat David Charles McGrath, who originally was sitting in the House of Representatives for Victoria, but changed to the federal seat. He was a vocal advocate for improving conditions for soldiers. In fact, in 1916, he enlisted himself before getting discharged in 1918 because of medical ill health. He lost the 1919 election by one vote to Edwin Kirby, who goes down in the record books as being the Member of Parliament. See, no one remembers McGrath, who was the loser. Ironically, he actually challenged the election, and they did a by-election 12 months later. He beat him by 3,615 votes. But you see, this is a question about those who are not chosen. You see, when we look at this reading, most people will preach about Matthias, the chosen one. Today we're going to look at the one that's not chosen, Justice. Now, I can tell you about it, or we can let Justice tell you about it himself. You see, it's really important that you guys understand just what's happening here. Judas, he was one of those that was in the inner sanctum. He was one of the ones that we admired. He was one of the 12. Now, some of the other writers, they talk about Judas as being a betrayer and embezzler. But really, if you look at the rest of them, it was only John that said that. The rest really didn't have a problem with Judas, not until he got to Gethsemane. It was only then that he started to show his true colours. But from my perspective, as one who was following along, I didn't see much difference between him and the other 11. In fact, in many ways, he was just as good, if not better, than some of them. But this story today, this story is about how we as a community, how we recover from what's happened. Christ has died. Yeah, he's died and he's risen, but he's not here right now. I don't know where he is. But what I do know is that Judas isn't here. And I know that he's not coming back. So Peter, he's decided that it's time that we move on. That we've got to get back to 12. Because 12 is an important number. 12 represents one for each of the tribes of Israel. In fact, when you hear Luke talk today, he tells us that the number of us is 120. That's 12 times 10. It's just a multiple of the tribes. You see, that's important for us. So how do we do it? This is what we did. The 11 disciples that were left, they got together with the other 120, minus 11, it's 109. They got together with the rest of the church anyway. And they put out a poll into the field and they said, "Now, what is it that are the strengths and weaknesses that a good leader needs to have?" And then they compiled, as a result of that, the results, and they put them into a beautiful glossy profile. They mailed it out to all those who might suit, like me, who might fit the bill. And then they ask us to respond with half a dozen answers to some questions that they ask us. And then, just to make sure that they were on the right track, they sent a couple of the disciples out to go around Judea and visit, and they'd have a look at how we preached, and they'd have a look at how we did pastoral care. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong story, isn't it? It didn't quite work like that. No, that's not, it's a bit embarrassing when you get it wrong, isn't it? Well, let's see if we can get it right this time. No, actually, what they did is they decided that they'd declare a vacancy among the apostles and that they'd take it to the Crown Appointments Commission in Jerusalem. They get the church officials and the bureaucrats to put together a short list of suitable people for the monarch to choose from. Of course, these decisions are not easy to make, so we'd have a look. We've got to have some criteria. We'll look at churchmanship, experience, and of course, the most important one, political viability. We know what Jesus was like. He just did not understand politics. He'd still be alive if he did. Then, of course, the church can publish all the results. You're not buying this story either. No, didn't think so. See, that's not what happens. What happened is that we actually knew that we needed to replace Judas. And what we needed someone with impeccable credentials. That's why they chose me. Had to be. Look at the credentials. With a scarf like this, how could you not say yes? Verses 21 and 22 in the passage to say, one who accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, that was me, I was there when John got baptized, until the day when he was taken up from us. I saw that. Such a one can become a witness with us to Jesus' resurrection and embody the possibility of resurrection with new life within the community as well. That's got to be me, hasn't it? The second part is we know that the replacement must be made after extended prayer. Not just amongst the people, but the whole community. Why is prayer important? Simply because prayer offers its own healing, especially for any wounded group that seeks restoration. The community that prays together heals together. You see, the way that they decided to choose a successor for Judas, many communities today would not see the Holy Spirit at work in such a crucial decision through the casting of lots. Sort of like the Uniting Church does. They believe that the Holy Spirit turns up to every meeting. But you see, the way they chose is not important. What is important is that they looked for a suitable replacement. See, they look for a way forward that offers the surest prospect of new life after the betrayal focused. Now they're looking at listening and discerning what is the will of God, not by themselves, but through communal prayer. Finding people of rich experience and deep integrity and ending with some sign that the next person is called by God. That's what the community was looking to do. So in reality, it came down to two people. It came down to Matthias and me. And you guys know the story. I was the one that was not chosen. And all I can think about is that moving pictures song. What about me? It isn't fair. I've had enough. Now I want my share. Can't you see? I want to live the same way as they do. I want to be part of that group. But I can't. So what do I do now? What are my options? I've been rejected. But then again, perhaps I'm in good company. After all, people make mistakes. Who's ever heard of Jim Denny? Not a name you know? Jim Denny was the manager of the Grand Old Opera House in Nashville, in Tennessee. And there was a young singer came up to him and said, I want to sing. And Jim listened to him and he said, stick to your day job. Go back to your job as a truck driver. Don't pursue a career in music. The person who he told that to was some nobody by the name of Elvis Presley. To use a football example, rugby example, 2003 Rugby World Cup held here in Australia. Final is held in Sydney. It goes to extra time. And it's decided by a drop goal by the most famous of all Englishmen, now Sir Johnny Wilkinson. But who remembers the name of the person that was trying to charge him down? See, no one remembers the losers. What about someone whose novel was rejected by 12 different publishing houses? And at the time, the person that's writing is living on welfare support. She then goes on to become the first female billionaire. Her name, Jo Rowling. The K actually stands for Kathleen, which is not part of her name, because she was told that boys would never read a book that was written by a female author. So she wrote under the name, the pseudonym J.K. See, the scars that are left by Judas and others who betray and damage those around them, they will remain. But they do not need to define or to stop a community's ministry. God will make a way for people of resurrection to rise. See, we should not be among those who, like Judas, retreat into the darkness. See, God never calls the dashing young, energetic person with 20 years of experience in the field who can speak 5 languages. No, God calls the ordinary people like you and I to do His extraordinary work. It's God that does the calling. Rather, like the expectant apostles in the days prior to the Pentecost, we should, with joy and a fearful awe, press forward into the resurrection day that has dawned in Christ. Courageously, we should bear the Spirit-empowered apostolic witness of Jesus from the heralding of John the Baptist to His glorious resurrection. Proclaim a light that can deliver people from any darkness and overcome all who seek to bolster its power and oppose its reign. See, we started off tonight with a call to worship that said, look to the love of Jesus, and that's what we need to do. Because the other person that was called, Dietrich Bonhoeffer phrases it this way, Christianity preaches the infinite worth of what is seemingly worthless. Christianity preaches the infinite worth of that which is seemingly worthless, and the infinite worthlessness of that is seemingly so valued. So often we place our value in things that are incorrect. See, discernment is about listening to God and seeing who God is calling. Biblical leadership was never based on your resume or your experience. If you think about the people who God called, the first 5 books of the Bible, Moses, an 80-year-old shepherd who had murder on his record, Aaron, who had great experience making little golden calves, David, the youngest son, a shepherd, Mary, a little girl, Peter, a fisherman, of course, Simon, the zealot. But he also called one other person. You see, as the disciples, we rushed to try and find a replacement for Judas. Perhaps in our rush, perhaps we dared to go where angels feared to tread. Perhaps God had it on his mind all the time who he was going to call. Because he also called Paul. Perhaps he really was the 12th disciple. Let us pray. Lord, in the midst of all of our pain, allow us to understand that you are the resurrected God. Allow us to understand that we're not defined by the actions of those that have gone before us. Rather, we're defined by the actions that we have here today. Lord, can we just ask that we go forth in the same spirit of Peter, that spirit of organization, that spirit of great faith, of blind faith, knowing that you are with us. May we have the courageousness of Paul. Paul, who stepped into places that others were afraid to go. Lord, we just ask that you'll be with us now. Amen.